Want to know more about what your favorite ninjas have on their minds? Check out the American Ninja Warrior podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, and it's a great listen for any Ninja Warrior fan.
Everybody, welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Amazing Avenue's minor league podcast. I'm Steve Saipa, and I'm joined by our regular co-hosts, Lucas and Ken. And this week, we are joined by Liam Murphy of AA and of the Bad Guys Pod. So, how's everyone doing?
Good. The Mets haven't totally sucked on Sunday yet, so...
Yeah, all right. Doing good. Had a terrible night out at the bars, but, you know, happened.
So, obviously, we're going to have to change our format a little bit now that the season is over for most of the minor league teams. But we'll keep promote extend trade because that's something that we can do year-round. And I was looking things up, and apparently on this date in 1504, David, the Statue of David, was unveiled in La Piazza della Signora in Florence. So, that got me thinking about all of the Davids in Mets history. And there have been a couple of good ones. So, I think this is kind of easy, given the big names and everything. But, of these following Davids, who are we going to promote? Who are we going to extend, and who are we going to trade? Liam, if you're not familiar, it's basically F, marry, kill.
I listen to the podcast.
I don't, so. All right, so we have David Cohn, David Wright, and Dave Kingman.
Oh, this will be fun.
I kind of want to trade both Cone and Kingman for personal reasons.
I'm like half tempted to say trade David Wright because I was one of those people who thought we should have traded him way back when the team sucked. But, you know, objectively.
Get in the corner. Get in your corner. Your same
objectively,
corner.
It was the right move.
Listen, objectively, there's a lot of right moves, but we're not objective here.
We don't trade David Wright.
All right, yeah, fine. All right, so are we all going to extend David Wright?
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
I mean, fuck David Cohn for throwing a no-hitter with the Yankees, and not us. So trade him the fuck out of here. And then
didn't David Cohn have something in the news recently?
Probably.
It was like something bad.
Probably. Old man yells cloud.
Wait, did Dave Kingman ever, like, was he ever outed as a racist? It'd be a thing that I see with Dave Kingman.
Probably.
Probably?
There are no shortage of, you know, screw Dave Kingman stories out there. It's a well-documented thing that happened.
Right, right. Who was it that Ron called out in his book who got real pissy?
Oh, that was Rich Staff's loyal follower.
Lenny Dykstra.
Dykstra, right. That's who I'm thinking of. Okay,
I mean, everybody knows Lenny Dykstra is an asshole.
Well, right, of course.
He freely admits it.
Still mad at him for skipping the ARG that one time.
One second.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, so here we go. David Cohn has some cocaine and some sexual accusations.
Ah, as one does from time to time, you know?
I mean, cocaine's whatever, but...
Cocaine
yeah.
is a hell of a drug.
It is.
Drugs are a hell of a drug.
Sorry, I just ran into my cousin.
Oh, at the end of the 1991 season, he was accused of rape by women whom with he spent the night.
This
Mets
was David
general
Cone,
manager,
right?
yeah, Mets yeah, general yeah, manager Frank Cashin called Cone's room and told Cone that he had a problem. David, Cashin said, you need to know that you've been accused of rape. The charges were dropped, but that's one... blunt way of
fun
hey,
phone
so
call.
I was flipping through my filings and apparently
just going through my voicemails this morning, you know, and
like Cashin had like 14 kids or something, so he really couldn't waste time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess
teaches you efficiency if nothing else.
Can we amend trade to punt into sun?
Yeah, so not only is he probably a terrible human being, but again, he threw a no-hitter for the Yankees, so the sun with him. He'll make nice a heap.
I'm not a huge Yankee hater, to be honest.
I mean, I'm more
it just takes a special kind of person to make us want to promote Dave Kingman.
Yeah.
Oh, totally promote Dave Kingman.
Here's a question. If you put Dave Kingman in modern baseball, how many dongs would he hit?
At least not many.
At least 40.
No, I'm saying if you like took the player Dave Kingman, right, with like modern training or whatever else, but with his style of play, he'd hit like 50.
Yeah, but his OBP would still be like.
It'd be bad. It'd be funny.
298.
Like, yeah. Wait, who would be like the modern day Dave Kingman? I'm trying to think.
Adam
of like
Dunn,
a,
right? That was.
Yeah, it'd be like Adam Dunn or like.
But Adam Dunn walked a lot still,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, true.
Good Mark Trumbo.
Mark Trumbo is probably the closest one. CJ Cron, maybe. I was gonna say Gallo, but Gallo was suddenly a monster this year. So
yeah,
mm-hmm.
And he also walked a lot. So yeah, Trumbo or Cron.
Chris Davis, did he walk a lot?
He walked a lot when he was good.
Mm.
I need CJ Cron to just start smoking cigs on the diamond and just start like kicking people. Just go full heel. The bad boy.
He's on the Rays. They're not allowed to have that much character, you know?
I forgot he's on the Rays. I keep thinking he's on the Angels, but
we
no.
We really lost the thread here, haven't we? We're,
yeah, he's been
we're,
one
we're,
of the more
we're
riveting.
Extending rights, we're promoting Kingman, and we're punting Cone into the sun.
Yes,
would
absolutely.
Would it change anything if I said that David Cone had the most WAR of all these players?
No.
No.
Okay.
I'll see you around.
Is it surprising to anybody?
No.
No.
I mean, Wright is one of those – I understand the arguments both for and against him into the Hall of Fame based on WAR. It's like, yeah, your peak was clearly good enough and you got screwed over by injuries. Is that a criterion we care about for the Hall? I don't know. But for this purposes, I don't really care that Cone has more WAR.
The question is, does it really matter who we send in the Hall of Fame if people just go, yeah, he was really good?
True.
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm a big – eh. He was, like, emblematic of the time. Fuck, mm-hmm. Put him in. I'm a big Hall guy. What do you want from me?
That's fair.
All right, so since we last recorded last Sunday, Brooklyn went on to make the playoffs. They won the McNamara division. They swept the Staten Island Yankees in their very last series, and they made it to the playoffs for the first time since 2012. And their three-game set that took place this week. They played the Hudson Valley Renegades, and it was a pretty exciting series overall. Game one didn't go Brooklyn's way. They lost 5-4. Right-hander Michel Ohtañez, he is wild, not good command, and he led off the fifth inning by issuing a walk. Then he fell behind 3-0 in the next batter. And Greg Jones, who is the Tampa Rays' first-round draftee this year, he had the green light, and he swung on a pitch, you know, a 3-0 pitch right down the middle, and hit a home run and gave Hudson Valley the lead, and they wouldn't relinquish it.
Yep.
Game two, a nail-biter. Cyclones won it. They evened the series at 1-1. Basically, Nathan Jones started for Brooklyn. He put up zeros for the first three innings. Matthew Allen took a mound after him. He tossed two more shutout innings. A rehabbing Jed Lowry, he hit a solo homer, and that gave Brooklyn the lead, and that was pretty much all the offense for the rest of the game. As Corey Gaccone, and Nelson Leon, they finished the shutout. And Brooklyn actually had a no-hitter going for 7.1 innings, which was pretty crazy because the game is just going so fast. It's like, before you even knew it, it's like, wait a minute, there's a no-hitter happening? But Hale Alexander, he hit a dying quail into, like, the outfield. It fell between Jake Mangum. Why do I always do that? Jake Mangum ran for
the
dome.
I think it's because we all want it to be Magnum. So much better.
But basically, it fell in a triangle in, you know, very shallow outfield that everybody missed, and it broke up the no-hitter. Game three was a back-and-forth game, and it ended with Brooklyn celebrating with a little bit of bubbly. Brooklyn came from behind. They tied things at 3-3 in the fourth, And then it remained tied until the ninth inning when Yoel Romero, he walked. He went to second base on a sacrifice bunt. And then Ranfia Doan hit a double. And that was that. And they won, and they're advancing. And
real
Brooklyn,
important they bunted there.
Please say a little bit of the bubble.
Excuse me. Yeah.
But
really, it felt like with that game, it was just a matter of time before Brooklyn won because they had pressure on the Renegades all night. They had guys in scoring position in the sixth, in the seventh, in the eighth. So it was just basically a matter of time before they finally broke through. And while they were doing all of that, the Brooklyn bullpen was dominant. Nick McDonald and Andrew Edwards, they combined to pitch four scoreless innings. And they allowed just one run and a walk while striking out nine.
Oh, please excuse the background noise. I am sitting on my stoop.
That's fine. There's always background noise on our podcast.
It's kind of funny the bullpen dominated because that's what your concern was going into this series about the Cyclones.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little unsold on the pitching. Mm. And they, you know, between the almost no-hitter on game two and the bullpen dominance in game three, they really held up, you know, their end of the bargain.
Cool.
Could I advocate for a weird nickname right now?
Yeah, sure.
Corey Caccione, or how do you pronounce his name?
Caccione, I guess.
Okay. Since you mispronounced it, I'm just going to call him Gnocchi from now on.
All right.
That works.
I mean, I would, if you're going to call him Gnocchi, I'd imagine he's like kind of short and tubby. Is that accurate or?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Too bad. Too bad. Too late now. I said it. It's in the universe.
All right. Well, now, they're going to be taking on the Lowell Spinners in the championship in another best-of-three series. Brooklyn went 4-5 against them in the regular season, so even though they lost, it was a losing record against them, they're still pretty evenly matched. The Spinners were 3rd in OPS, 6th in ERA, 7th in hits allowed, 7th in strikeouts, 8th in walks allowed, as opposed to Brooklyn's 8th in OPS, 4th in ERA, 3rd in hits allowed, 6th in strikeouts, 5th in walks. So Brooklyn has the slight pitching advantage, and the Spinners have the slight hitting advantage.
Who are the Spinners affiliated with?
Boston.
Don't they have a ton of prospects?
Yeah, if you look at that team, it is stacked. Some of them are putting up the numbers. Some of them are not putting up great numbers, but they're still considered really good prospects.
Good prospects by the Red Sox standard, which is probably the worst farm in baseball.
Yeah, there's Gilberto Jimenez. He's one of Boston's top outfielders. He hit 359, 393, 470 in 59 games with the Spinners. Nick Decker is another outfielder. Top prospect in their system. He hit 247, 328, 471.
Don't they have like a random pitcher?
Oh, they have a bunch of pitchers.
Where Groom is doing his rehab?
Yep. There's Jason Groom is doing his rehab. He only
Jay
has
Groom.
Like,
it's Jay Groom.
Excuse me. Jay Groom. He's coming back from Tommy John. He's doing his rehab there. He only has like 2 innings under his belt so far with them, but you know, he could be a big wild card in the series. Ryan Zephyrjohn and Noah Song, that's Boston's 3rd and 4th round picks, respectively, this season.
Oh, yeah, Noah Song's really good. That's the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay. Noah Song, he is the Navy pitcher. There was a lot of a lot of questions about his Army service and whether or not it would be deferred or not, and how long it would take before he would be able to pitch professionally, but he got a deferment or whatever the case was, and he fell down to the 4th round, and Boston picked him up, and that's a big signing for them.
According to unidentified player evaluator, he is very good.
He is very good, yes. I mean, he is arguably a first-round talent, not maybe front of the first round of the draft, but, you know, back half of the first round of this draft.
Did he have the deferment before? He didn't have it during the draft, or
no, he didn't have it. Okay, that's why. Which is why there was.
And then the Trump administration changed the way they do it now, so they kind of screwed him on it.
There's like the there's first like a and only Trump person to be screwed by Trump.
God damn it!
back to back dongs for Ramos and Cano. That's cool.
The Mets are playing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have cable at my house, so like, I only like watch games when like I notice they're on. And I'm like, oh, let me put that on real quick.
Other prospects that are on spenders are Cameron Cannon, who is a great name. There's shortstop Anthony Flores. There's shortstop Matthew Lugo. Third baseman Nick Northcutt. So it's at least with names anyway, it's a pretty stacked team, as opposed to the Cyclones, who are not so much.
Didn't the Mets have a Cameron Cannon or like a – they had a Cannon relief pitcher at one point who wasn't very good. I don't remember who.
If your last name is Cannon and you're not throwing like above 95,
he didn't.
Are you like a failure to your name?
Yes. Okay. Cannon Chadwick. He retired.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think of Brooklyn's chances? Obviously, I'm rooting for them. I want to see them win.
Mm-hmm. Brooklyn must win.
Brooklyn must win. That is going to be the title of this podcast.
Well, what are they going to do without rehab all-star Jed Lowry? Lowry, whatever.
Lowry.
Everyone's going to have to pick it up.
Yeah. Who is he playing over, Ritter or was someone else?
Yeah, Ritter's been DHing, and Lowry was playing second.
Luca Ritter looked okay when I saw him.
Yeah, he's. I feel like he's. He reminds me of. What was his name? God damn it! He's a very Italian player that was drafted a couple of years ago.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Stella?
Yeah.
No.
Not that guy. Wasn't his first name Vinny?
Vinny Sierra, yep.
Yeah, that's
Oh, God.
Yeah. He was like the guy we thought would kind of be like McNeil as well, but wasn't.
Right. That didn't exactly work out. But Ritter gives me those vibes, too. A kind of underrated, scrappy-ish second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Who
gets good contact.
Yeah, he's better than you give him credit for. One of those kinds of players. I don't know how far he's going to make it. Probably not very, but I mean, he walks a lot, which he's a good eye, which is.
But
a
also
good
walking
skill to
a
have.
Lot, walking a lot in the Penn League is like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's.
This is also like roughly equivalent to the guys he was facing in at Wichita.
I never know how to judge that, right? Because walk, it's not like it's a bad thing. It's like, okay, you clearly have an eye to not swing at all the crap people are throwing you in the Penn League, but it's also probably not super informative.
Well, you know, Carson Cistulli turned that into a major league job, so you know. Sorry.
And his OBP is about 100 points above his average, so that's, if nothing else, the guy's getting on base. Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing, even if he's hitting like 200, 250, whatever it is.
Well, I mean, maybe they'll be fine without Lowry then.
Yeah. I mean, they won, they went 43 and 30 in the regular season without him, so all they need to do is just win two games.
How skinny did Lowry look, by the way?
Yeah, he's not a big guy, and he didn't.
I think I said to Jared at the game on what was it, Monday, Thursday? I don't know.
Thursday.
It was Thursday.
That he looked kind of like
emaciated.
Like, yeah, I've heard he's lost mass.
He looks thin. Like, really.
I mean, that's not surprising when you have a lower body injury for that long.
Really, you mean a whole left side injury?
Yeah. When you are Jed Lowry.
It makes it sound like he had like a stroke.
I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but.
No, but like when they go like, oh, his whole left side is like bad. Like, what? Did he have like a
is
stroke?
Is he drooping?
Or something?
Like,
He didn't look particularly impressive. I mean, outside of his home run, he didn't look particularly impressive.
The defense looks like it's
Baker, what are you doing?
Still, you know, a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not totally surprising when you miss the whole year.
Yeah, you're going to be rusty, you know?
You're not going to get anything out of him this year, but next year I'm pretty comfortable with him as the starting third baseman. Like, I'm not going to worry about that.
Give him 5 months with Barwis.
I would rather... Especially when you have McNeil and Davis who can fill in, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And you probably want to get Davis into the lineup more often than not. So.
We've had this discussion before.
You kind of, you know, having Lowry isn't a bad fit for next year, assuming he actually gets on the field and doesn't have a right half injury.
I'm excited to see all of the corner infield guys next year.
Uh-huh.
All of them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how that's going to work.
Does that include Cheech?
Oh, no. I forgot Cheech existed.
Yeah, so did I. I was looking
honestly happier.
I was looking something up earlier today, and I was like, wow, I completely forgot that he even played this season.
He was like a double-A, right? And
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, I think they promoted him for like a week and then sent him back down.
That relationship has soured.
Mm. Once again, we've lost the thread.
Well, that's we were pretty much done talking about this series anyway. We'll take.
Do you
a
guys
quick...
want to? Oh.
Well, what?
I don't. I'm not used to taking breaks.
Yes, we have to take breaks.
I understand this.
That's all right, though. The breaks. The one commercial for the one show. The lady has such a good voice. I like listening to just the commercial. It's better than our podcast. So we're gonna take a quick break. And when we are back, we will talk a little bit more in depth about Brett Beatty and Matthew Allen, both of whom are on the Brooklyn roster and hopefully will be big contributors to their series against Lowell. So we'll be back in just 1 second.
When you start losing your hair, there's no magical cure, but there is a way to stop hair loss from happening in the first place. It's called Keeps, and it's a treatment that's proven up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. You don't have to go to the doctor's office or stand in line at the pharmacy for a prescription. You'll visit a doctor online and they'll send the medication right to you in a discreet package. And with Keeps starting at just $10 a month, you don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. So prevention is key. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. They have more 5-star reviews than any of their competitors. So take action now and visit keeps.com/SBNation. With our special offer, you'll receive your first month of treatment for free at keeps.com/SBNation. That's KEEPS.com/SBNation.
Hey, I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Holly Anderson.
I'm Ryan Nanny.
I'm Jason Kirk, and we're the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, your Avengers of College Football podcast. It says here in the script I'm to riff on what that means, and basically what I mean is it's all already spoiled.
Every Tuesday, we talk about everything from cooking disasters to pro wrestling to unfashionable pants we wore in middle school.
We also do talk about college football every now and then, like mascot fights, announcers fleeing the booth early, and unfashionable pants that coaches wear now.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it should be taken, subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back. I'm Steve Seipa. This is from Complex of Queens, and I'm joined by Lucas Vlahos, Ken Lavin, and Liam Murphy. So, with the exception of you, Lucas, I think we've all seen Beatty and Allen. Is that correct?
Yep.
I've watched videos. I've seen GIFs.
GIFs. So, let's go over Beatty first. I saw him a lot in Kingsport. I did see him one game in Brooklyn. But I know for you guys, his couple of games up here were your first experiences with him. So what do you guys think overall?
Liam, go ahead.
No, you go first, Ken. You have seniority here.
I really just don't know what to make of him yet. The only thing I can definitively say is he looked completely gassed.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was the longest summer of his life. So, which is a common thing in draftees. I also could probably say that when he gets a pitch on the inner half, it probably looks pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Just how the swing is geared and the rotation he gets. But one of the big things I took away from seeing him is that he's going to have to work to keep his lower body and his upper body in sync, because that was basically what was happening on each swing is, you know, the foot would land and then he'd be kind of slapping at it with the upper body.
I will say that's like I think that's a pretty common fatigue-related timing issue for power hitters.
Yeah, so that's why, like I say, the only thing I can tell for sure is that he probably is exhausted.
Yeah. So
for me, I just don't think he knows where the bat head is going. Like it's really fast through the zone. He generates a lot of swing, but I just don't think he has any idea where the hell the bat head's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Which is reasonable. He's always going to be power over hit.
Yeah.
Did you guys see him play any defense?
I don't think I got a single chance.
I don't. Yeah, I'm trying to like think, and I ended up having to leave the game in the eighth inning because I was up since like 3 a.m. that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were no like grounders to third that like you would actually get like a nice view at his defense or his hands.
Yeah, so Steve's probably the resident expert on Brett Batty, the fielder.
From seeing him in Kingsport, he could be kind of lackadaisical. You know, there were certain throws that, you know, were on point. Others were, you know, he didn't really put enough zip on it, and either he didn't get the call at first, or it was closer than it should have been. He made either one or two errors, just kind of like a basic, you know, through the legs, bad hop kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, that's whatever. It happens to everybody. Right. What else?
I mean, there was like the concern, like one of the things I saw people worrying about when he was drafted is that he's got like zero chance to stick at third. And it doesn't sound like that's the case based on.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any worry of him moving off of third anytime soon, especially not as a prospect. I mean, maybe, you know, when he's like a 30-year-old or something, but mm-hmm. that's well beyond our, you know,
right.
concern here. He's pretty thick. He's pretty filled in. I don't think that he's going to be getting much bigger or stronger or, you know, adding more mass or anything. Good mass. So it's just one of those things, like, he'll have to maintain his, you know, he's not bad-bodied or anything, but he just is going to have to stay, you know, stay in shape. And I don't think there should be any problems.
Every time I hear about a prospect packing on mass, I think of Always Sunny when Mac just got fat for one season.
Fight milk.
I'm accumulating mass.
Buy bodyguards. I mean, I would hope if the weight is going to be an issue, I would hope they've learned a couple lessons from Dom Smith, and maybe they give Beatty more tools than they did Smith for helping him maintain his weight. We've talked about this on the pod before too, but
let's be honest. Do you actually think they do that?
No.
Okay.
Trying to be somewhat optimistic.
But yeah, I don't think that weight or anything like that will be much of an issue. Just as long as he stays in shape, and you know,
mm-hmm.
Most players seem to have, you know, no problems with that. So
it's also not uncommon for dudes to come in much better shape after their draft year. So
yeah, I mean,
it might be something we need to reevaluate.
Yeah, like think about 18-year-old you.
Oh no, yeah.
That's a piece of shit.
I mean, I was in pretty good shape, but you know, hate to flex.
Weird flex, well, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was also 50 pounds lighter at the time.
I would say that we are all cautiously optimistic about Beatty.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I think, though, that we are all wowed, maybe, by Matthew Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very impressed.
He pitched a game during the regular season, and then he pitched a game in the postseason. All three of us saw him as well. And he looked better than I thought he would. You know, the report was, you know, he sits in the mid-90s. He was doing that. He has a great curveball. We know that. And he threw it in the at least the regular season game that you guys saw. He has an okay changeup, but it's still kind of in development. And I think that the bunch of changeups that he threw in the postseason game that we saw showed that he's made a lot of development with that changeup, because it looked pretty damn good.
That's great.
Yeah, it was like the game that Liam and I saw, the regular season game. He threw like a handful of good ones, and then like one or two good ones, and then like one or two that weren't great. It was like super encouraging to go back for the postseason game and see him throwing like more that looked like the good ones.
Yeah, I got into a little bit of an argument with somebody I know about whether or not it flashed above average.
Or just average.
We'll not out that person, but yeah, I would say it flashed like above average, like 55. Which is great for like an 18-year-old. Like,
oh, yeah. He's capable of throwing a good one.
He's
going to come down to consistency. You know?
He's flashing an average or slightly above average change and has that sick curveball already. Like,
yeah.
This feels like the, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for overhyping this, but that's like the starting ingredients for prep starter destined for acedom.
Yeah, like, I do think it's a little too early to, you know.
Of course.
But.
Like, he sits middle with the fastball a bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
He can be a little scattershot, you know. Yeah.
Starting ingredients.
But you have the repertoire is there, you know.
Right.
Like, he's maybe a 6'5" high end, low end right now.
It's reasonable.
Now it's hard to it's hard to kind of make comparisons because he is literally an 18-year-old
throwing
just out of high school. Right, growing to his body, developing his repertoire still. But based on
what more
the other
does he need to grow? He looks like he's 40.
Right. Well, that is.
I'm sorry.
It's like you just expect guys to get stronger as they get older, you know? Like, I could imagine him putting on or, you know, gaining a tick or two in the fastball. Maybe not a lot, but like sitting maybe closer to 95, 96 as he gets older, you know?
Given the profile, does he pretty much jump over every other pitcher in the system? And is he the Mets' top pitching prospect?
Yes.
He's the third best prospect in the Mets system. That's what I'm putting him at.
Mm.
Call him a shot here.
I might have him second.
I mean, I haven't really given too much thought yet. But, I mean, I think maybe not consensus, but I think general opinion is probably going to be that Mauricio is number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Number two, I have.
Yeah, that's
I
where
don't
it
know.
Gets interesting.
it gets hazy real fast. I mean, I don't want to say I've lost all faith and hope in Jimenez, but you know,
it's not great. It's not great.
He didn't have the year everybody was hoping him.
No,
you know,
and like the swing changes they made didn't really work.
Yep, he went backwards a little bit.
I didn't realize what everybody was talking about the swing change until I saw it, and I was like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, he's
not great.
You don't want to do that with players like him, but yet they did.
I'd probably have Allen second, honestly. I mean, it's probably an overreaction. It's probably very wrong, but I prefer upside over proximity.
I would definitely have him above Batty, I think.
Absolutely.
80. Yeah, definitely.
I think the only argument is he above Jimenez or not, right?
Yeah,
and then it's a matter of how much do you weigh the one bad season versus the long road Allen still has to go and
the risk involved.
And right. He's a pitcher, et cetera, et cetera.
He's a prep pitcher.
Right.
I will say a slight knock on Allen was, again, he's only throwing two innings at a time. He's an 18-year-old. But in the game that I saw him with Ken, he came out first inning sitting 95-94, had really nice onside run. And then the next inning, it just flattened out. Like it dropped a tick or two. I think he probably amped himself up too much or something, because everything was just – it just, there was no run on the fastball. It just sat middle and like 93, and people just squared it up and just hit it.
He had to work a lot harder in the regular season game than the
yes.
playoff game.
Yeah, in the game that I saw, I think every fastball was a 95.
And weirdly, actually, he went to the curve when he was down. When like people were on base, he actually ended up going to the curve instead of sticking with the fastball.
Which I like, because, you know, throw your best pitches more often, you know? And it's clearly his best offering right now.
I think that's just another example, I guess, of that he is a very mature pitcher, very mature baseball player, given the fact that, A, he's cognizant enough to recognize if his fastball is flattening out a little bit, if he's not having the best command of it, then he can switch over to his curveball, which he does have. And obviously the fact that the Mets assigned him to Brooklyn, and it's not like he's just kind of riding the pine, just there to make a quick cameo in
yeah, that. I know. He's a relatively big part of their playoff rotation.
Yeah.
And we all know Brooklyn must win, so...
Right.
Does Wolf go to Brooklyn next year, or does he jump Brooklyn?
I think so.
I think him and Santos are probably headed for Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's only in two inning stretches, an 18-year-old looking good in that context is encouraging.
Yeah, right. I mean SWR did the same thing in Kingsport last year.
Right.
You have players. It's the end of a very long season for a lot of these guys. But you know, you have college players that played in decent to good conferences in school. So
yeah, he's basically pitching for like an SEC All-Star team, basically. Like
as an 18-year-old.
Yeah, like yep. Mangum was an SEC performer. Duplantis right. was an SEC performer.
Right. Right. Right.
You know.
I think this is by far the most exciting pool of draft picks they've had in a very long time, so it's fun. I'm excited.
You mean three draft picks?
Yes.
There's a lot of risk, but...
Once again, I'm trying to, you know, not just go to the bottom level description of what I'm talking about immediately, but you're not wrong.
Big bottom level description guy here.
I'm actually in the middle of writing something about how the draft picks that they have from this year. Obviously, I don't really think that anybody has of that grouping very high upside. I don't think that anyone in this grouping has major league upside. But in terms of at least performance and numbers, they really haven't performed much better or worse than all of the, you know, juniors and seniors that they've picked the last couple of years. So
right.
It's a solid group.
I mean, you're not supposed to sign juniors and seniors, whatever.
You're supposed to sign good juniors. The Mets, well, not so much of them. Mm-hmm.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
All right, well, noises of frustration.
Yep. So does anyone have any last words here?
I guess I'll end it with this. Are we all pretty much in agreement that Allen's a better pitching prospect at this point than SWR was before he left the org?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
arguably, I still have K over him.
Have K over him.
Over Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Just because there's
K's pitching in the big leagues.
There's so much risk involved with an 18-year-old prep pitcher making the majors. I do prefer the upside over the proximity, but at some point it does matter. And when you're looking pretty decent in AAA, even if you're only going to be a back end starter, like
Alan could blow out his elbow next year.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Realistically,
Kay's already done that.
It's tough. No. Like, I could understand if you prefer Alan, but, like...
It comes down to your tolerance for risk.
Right.
I'll be
right.
honest. One of the slight benefits to Anthony Kay getting traded is I won't get drunken DMs from relatives.
No more harassment by certain.
It parties. Wasn't harassment. It wasn't harassment. That's the funniest part.
Uh huh. I've had interaction with relatives as well. So it's like my most famous tweet ever at this point was. So,
is that why you're trying to stay away from baseball?
No,
level,
really, I honestly, I get everyone has it lanced somewhere else on, like, the risk versus proximity vector there, but, I mean, he looked good yesterday, okay? He looked real good yesterday.
I mean, he's going to pitch in the big leagues for a while. Like, yeah. That's, you know.
Yeah, Toronto is a good place for him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll obviously
he's always had a good curve, you know.
He's if everything comes back like pre-Tommy John, whatever, the fastball's pretty good for a left-hander. The curveball's pretty good. The changeup, you know, it hasn't really looked that great as a minor leaguer this year, but in college it was, you know, okay to pretty good. So give it a decent three picks, Mitch. That's
what was
Kay sitting
in the Toronto game?
I can check real quick.
I can't check because I'm on my phone because my laptop got ruined in the famous pipe burst of Woodlawn.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. My apartment got flooded.
That sucks.
Does he not have a Brooks baseball page yet? What the fuck?
Is it Tony K now? Has he switched to his
Is
radio
he trying
broadcaster
to be,
name?
Trying to be Ooh. More personable?
Come on, Tony K in the morning? Come on.
Oh, God. Take
that is definitely
going to
be.
Let's see.
He's definitely going to be like a WFAN Long Island guy later in his life.
Anthony, so they don't have his stuff on Brooks Baseball yet, I guess?
They might have it on.
Statcast?
Savant, yeah. Looks like four seamer, 93.7.
It's not bad.
Yeah, changeup 85.1, curve 78.6. Curve has a slightly above average spin rate, fastball slightly above average spin rate. Not that that means all that much.
Like, he could very easily have, like, John Neese's career. And yeah. that'd be a pretty yeah, successful career for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it bears repeating since
go ahead, Steve.
I guess it bears repeating since we're talking about it, but, like, even though most of us were kind of down on Kay, I don't think that any of us said that he would ever suck necessarily. It was just a combination of where he was selected in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then all of the, you know, risks that came with that.
Right.
Oh, I'm putting all my chips down now that he sucks. I'm just going to take victory laps now. I'm taking victory laps. I got it on audio now.
It's hard to, like, parse out criticism of a player from criticism of the team, and certain comments maybe didn't make that clear enough. But he's a fine starter. He'll be around for a while.
Yeah, he's going to have a very long career.
Listen, if in five years, Tony K is on WFAN.
Tony K.
Oh, God. Live from Stony Brook.
You think his brother calls in, like he does a segment with him? Hopefully nobody listens to this. Hopefully nobody listens to this so I don't get yelled at.
I don't think anybody does, so I think we're good.
Good, good, good. I already do enough hot takes on my fucking podcast. Oh, crap. My bad.
Come on.
Oh, I wasn't sure about cursing. My bad.
Yeah, I don't think we're supposed to, but
I know.
Lucas already dropped an F-bomb before, so.
Yeah, we average like 3 a week.
No, I'll play by your rules.
I'm going to make a chart at the end of the year.
Curse right. is above average. All right, sorry.
Yeah, well, Yeah, Allen good, Beatty hopefully good, and let's go Cyclones.
Yep.
Yep.
Brooklyn must win.
Yep. So if anyone has any questions or comments, you could send us an email at our email address from complextoqueens@gmail.com. I would much prefer emails that are actual legit emails as opposed to all of the spam that I've been getting recently. So
I'll send you an email. Don't worry.
Help me with that.
I'll send you an email. Don't worry.
Oh, okay, thank you. And then you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Steve Sipa. Lucas is at lvlahos343. Ken is at KenLavin91. And Liam is at Jeans Murphy.
With the Z.
With the Z. And you can subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. You can subscribe to Liam's podcast, Bad Guy Pod, too. And, you know, rate, review, and thank you, everybody. And hopefully Brooklyn wins the championship, and we will be talking about that next week. So until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.